All right, our next presentation is titled Management of Palmer Amaranth in West Texas Using Residual Herbicide Systems, RM Merchant. We'll be presenting.
Awesome, thanks. All right, good morning. Much like Arizona, glyphosate-resistant Palmer Amaranth is a relatively new reality in the Texas High Plains. And over the past few years, grower concerns about the effectiveness of glyphosate have increased, whether or not they've actually experienced resistance on their own operation. To give you an idea of the scale that we're working with, in Texas, cotton was planted on 5.7 million acres in 2013. And in the 20-county area that makes up the Southern High Plains alone, accounted for 4.1 million acres of cotton. So cotton's kind of a big deal out there, which makes glyphosate-resistant Palmer Amaranth a significant economic threat to the entire region. Luckily, it's not quite as widespread as areas in the Mid-South and Southeast yet. That's a reality that could change easily within the next couple of years if we don't integrate methods that have been used in the Southeast, Mid-South, and developed by these other universities in our own programs to encourage growers. And the way we're doing this is developing field trials, on-farm trials, as well as surveys so we better understand the issue and get the information out to our growers so that they can be better informed. The purpose of this study was to evaluate residual herbicide effectiveness in irrigated and dryland environments in these environmental conditions of West Texas, and by no means is this an exhaustive list of all of the options that growers have, simply the ones that we hear most used commonly by growers in this area. And the results from this study will determine which systems go forward into full systems approaches this upcoming year and then replicated into 2015. Trials were conducted at two locations this past year. The first was the Glover Research Farm in Lubbock, Texas. This was a dry land environment that relied solely on natural rainfall. We didn't even use a pop-up irrigation. Germination and herbicide activation relied solely on our natural rain, which at this location, throughout the growing season, I pulled the data from May to September, we received a little over 7 inches of rain, which is definitely a neat experience coming from the Southeast, having to deal with that in a dry land situation. Our other location was the Halfway Research Farm in Halfway, Texas. This was heavily irrigated, and I've got in here that plant available water remained at 0.5, which is just the index to represent that there was a lot of irrigation that was going on in this location, not because of my research trials, but because of its proximity to some physiology work that was going on that got watered whether I wanted it to or not. So we dealt with it. This location received a little over 8 inches of natural rainfall in addition to its irrigation. This was a simple randomized complete block design, 3 replications. There were 32 treatments, and as I said before, encompassing the majority of residual herbicide options available in West Texas in different combinations. And all rates for the respective herbicides were appropriate for the soil types and condition at either location. Treatments included 4 PPIs, 9 pre's, 5 post, 4 lay-bys, 8 systems, and 2 non-treated checks, just because those are giant blocks and you don't want to walk to both ends every time. There were no post-topical herbicides used in order to mimic a resistant situation, which we didn't have at either location, and I couldn't convince the farm manager to let me seed it with resistant seed, so we just took glyphosate out of the situation. Not because we're encouraging a glyphosate-absent system, we just wanted to mimic resistance in both of these locations. Applications for pre- and PPI treatments were made by a tractor-mounted sprayer, 10 GPA at 40 PSI, Due to equipment not being available, post applications were made by Mr. Joel Webb and myself using a backpack. If you ever have the opportunity to backpack an 8-row plot with 32 treatments, we decided that next year all applications will be made with an aerial applicator if that needs to be done again. Palmer Amaranth control as a percentage was rated following post and lay-by applications and counts recorded following the post applications. We simply analyzed data using SAS 9.2 and separated means with Tukey's HSD. Just so we don't have too busy of slides, we're not reporting on all 32 treatments. We're taking the best 7 treatments from both locations, as well as an earlier slide that's going to look at some of the individual components and what they brought to the table. First, we'll look at our Glover location, which was our dry land situation. These ratings were taken following the post application. On the X or the horizontal axis, we have percent control from 0 to 100. Up here on the side are some of our treatments, Direx, Cotteran, Caprol, and Prowl H2O Pre, as well as Prowl H2O pre-plant incorporated where we plowed in and then relisted after the prowl application. Mean separation is not that great, partly in my own failings as a raider and also because we had so many treatments. But what I don't want to get into much, the separation between the actual treatments. I want to take each treatment individual and look at this as an entire, look at the entirety of this, and that by using Direx Pre, we've taken 42% of the pigweed out of a situation where it has to be controlled by our post-topical herbicide. With Cotteran Pre, we've taken out 83% of those. So the Cotteran herbicide alone allows for less pressure to be put on our post-topical herbicides that would be used later in the year. And all of these are herbicides that I have heard growers going out and putting this as their sole herbicide in dry land situations in West Texas. And this is simply not acceptable from a resistance management standpoint. These are our top seven treatments from the Glover location. Trifluralin Incorporated, we had 85% control, which left us 15% that we would have to control later on in the season with a post-herbicide. All the way down to a system, including Trifluralin, followed by Caprol and Dual Pre. A fairly expensive system, but after the post-application, we were only looking at 1% of those pigweed that were going to have to be controlled through a post-topical herbicide or hand weeding. In situations like that, coming up with these new technologies that are going to allow new post-topical options, this type of program is going to could possibly extend the life of these new post-topical options and allow growers to get several more years of effective use out of them. Here's Palmer Amaranth counts as plants per meter square at the Glover location. Our non-treated check, that in 1 meter square, we're looking at 23 plants per meter. That's not a population like you saw earlier on Jeremy's talk at the Macon County location in Georgia, but it's still enough to cause a significant impact to cotton production in this area. Simply by just the adding of an herbicide, Treflan PPI, and then our systems, we just reduce the populations of pigweed this early in the season. After following our lay-by application, we started to get some failings in our system just simply because these residual herbicides had been out there so long. Even with the natural rainfall, without so much natural rainfall, they were still breaking in some situations. After lay-by, we still were getting 78% control with Trifluralin PPI. So this is late season. You're looking at 22% of escapes that would have to be removed through post-topical or hand weeding. And what we, I guess you could call a Cadillac system, control carried on throughout the year in pretty good situation. Part of the reason is because it was so dry, we believe these residual herbicides hung around and did their job a lot longer than our halfway location. I apologize for the lack of picture at Glover. There is an SD card somewhere that has a lot of beautiful pictures of this location, but I do have some for halfway. Halfway, compared to Glover, was a very, very heavily irrigated location. Here we have some of the constituent parts of different programs, Direct, Cotteran Caprol, Prowl H2O. Compared to some of the stuff that was going on at Glover, we didn't see nearly as good a control going on into late season. 40%, 40%, 47%, 10%, 40%. That's putting a lot of pressure on any of our post-topicals or causing a grower to have somebody come in and hand weed, which could be economically prohibitive in this area. Our top seven treatments for this area look very similar to our Glover location, with the exception that Trifluralin PPI just simply was not an effective herbicide option in such a heavily irrigated regime. Dual and Caprol provided 88% control, so we're still looking at 12% that's got to be controlled. And then some of our systems following the post-application, we're getting 90 to 95% control, which as a, when you're trying to manage a seed bank and trying to manage the entire, this trait and keep it from spreading, is not acceptable. You really want as heavy, like as close to 100% control as you can get. But this is a good start with just a simply residual herbicide system. This shows a non-treated check at our halfway location. Due to the amount of water it received, the cotton was healthy, so was the pigweed. The pigweed was very competitive, and you can see there's just no way that we would be able to harvest this situation if a grower wasn't able to get this under control. Here on the left, we have treatment that included Dual and Caprol Pre, followed by a post-application of Staple, which worked fairly well in this environment. We did have a couple escapes that would come back to be a problem later season. On the right is Trifluralin PPI, followed by Dual and Caprol Pre. Slightly better system. We've got fewer scapes here. Looking on at dual and caprol applied pre. Again, both of these systems are very similar. Even if you follow the dual and caprol pre with the post, there's still a lot of escapes in both systems, which come back and cause harvest issues and yield losses. These are our best treatments available, also a very expensive treatment for growers to follow, but give us the greatest opportunity for residual Palmer amaranth control. On the left, dual and caprol pre, followed by dual post, and then coming back with Direx lay-by. And on the right, trifluralin PPI, which is what a lot of growers out there like to use. They really like those yellow herbicides, followed by caprol pre, dual post, and then Direx at lay-by. Palmer amaranth counts in this location, populations in the check were a little higher than the Glover location just because it wasn't a dry land environment. And once again, just by the addition of an herbicide, with the exception of this trifluralin and caprol pre, we reduced the counts of Palmer amaranth at this location to something that would be manageable late season for the average grower. Going into late season, just because of the amount of water, herbicides began to break a little bit earlier than what they did at the Glover location, which would put a lot more pressure on a post-topical treatment, dual and caprol pre, at around 68%. And our best control with our full systems, including trifluralin up to Direx lay-by, at 95%. As far as seed cotton yields, no yield data were collected for halfway. The high irrigation rate, lack of post-topical herbicides, these systems failed late season. Most of them got mowed down. There's just no way a grower would take a stripper in there and attempt to harvest these plots, which that points out the importance of having an effective post option in situations where it's heavily irrigated or there's a lot of natural rainfall. We did collect yield data for Glover. However, it being dry land, there was no significant interaction between treatment and yield for plots harvested. It was very binary. Either there was cotton or there was no cotton. In summary, programs that involve a single PPI or pre-herbicide allow many escapes late season. And on-farm, these escapes would be treated with multiple applications of glyphosate, glufosinate, or potentially some of these new post-topical options that will be available. The reliance on post-topical herbicides may increase the potential for resistance development and shorten the effective life of the respective herbicides. So growers should use systems involving multiple residual herbicides, applied PPI pre and post, overlap these residuals to reduce Palmer amaranth escapes late season, put less pressure on your post-topical treatments, and through this we may reduce the occurrence of resistance and extend the useful life of the respective herbicides. In future research, the best treatments from these trials will be used in replicated studies in 2014 at both the Halfway and Glover locations. Treatments will include various combinations of residual herbicides, post-topical herbicides, and tillage practices as well. And the purpose will be to develop a full management plan for growers in areas at risk of glyphosate resistance development. Select treatments will also be used in on-farm studies throughout the Texas High Plains. We had 6 locations this past year, and we're working with our county extension agents to maybe get that up to closer to 12 to 20 separate locations. And the results from this will allow a better understanding of herbicide systems in different environments and also provide demonstration plots for field tours. And with that, I'd like to field any questions if we have time. Yes? The question was, do we see any injury to seedling cotton? And I believe that's coming from the concern of Cotteran and Direx use on those soil types. We did not rate the cotton injury in this particular trial. In our own farm trials where we're using Cotteran and Direx as well, we did not see any visible injury to the cotton in those 6 locations. If you ask a lot of growers in the Texas High Plains, they'll tell you that they're afraid of Cotteran and Direx at high rates. But what we've seen so far this year, we didn't see quite that injury, and we believe it may be because of the low rainfall we've had over the past couple of years. Any more? Thank you.
Thanks.